For KTOO, I'm Mike Lane with the news. Justin Smith of Gustavus has produced albums for Alaska artists like Annie Bartholomew, Blackwater Railroad Company, and Josh Fortenberry. He's performed at festivals with blues legends like B.B. King and James Brown. But Smith says he loves playing and producing for Alaskans more than anything.
There's this whole sort of instrumental bridge section in a tune called Happy Tune on the Blackwater Railroad record. It's just musically so exciting, and I was just sitting there hearing them play it. You know, and looking over at the computer and saying, like, yes, it's recording, we're getting this. Like, yeah! You know? December 1st of 93, I spent my last dollar at Heritage Coffee, got off the ferry, we were like, pulling change out from under the seat, you know, of the car, trying to get enough money together for our ferry tickets. And I had a dollar left when I got to Juneau. Walked around. It was first Friday in December. We walked around to the galleys eating all the cookies because we didn't have any food. And that was my start in Juneau. And I got here, and everybody told me I needed to go to the Alaskan on Thursday night for the open mic. So I did that my first Thursday. And I was always the guy in the high school bands and stuff that would set up the PA and figure those things out, and I would mess around with a four-track recorder, things like that. So I had kind of an inclination towards the gear side of things, but eventually I wanted to record myself. I got a little bit of gear, and then I just kind of branched out from there because I heard somebody singing once at open mic and invited them over to record their stuff, and I just love it. And I tried to acquire nice gear and the learn the best methods because I didn't want anything to sound amateur, and I didn't want to put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into getting a performance and then feel like if I ever wanted to put it on a record, I'd have to re-record it in a real studio, you know, because it's just so hard to get that performance and get that thing that you want. And to think that you're only doing it temporarily until you can do it for real in a real music studio. So I tried to start with nice equipment and doing it the right way. When we did Annie's record, when we did Sisters of White Chapel, we did that in a cabin at the Methodist camp. One of my favorite things on that was at the end of Last Confession, there's this long piano outro, and we recorded the band with Cat playing bass, and then we came up with this arrangement idea to like give it to the piano to reprise the melody at the end of it. Cat sat at the piano and was trying to pick out the melody, and she played a few wrong notes while she was trying to figure out the melody. And she's like, okay, I think I got it. Let's do this. And we recorded it once, and I was like, could you play it the way that you did like a few minutes ago when you're still trying to figure out the melody and it wasn't quite exactly right? And she sort of got back to that space, and that's what's on there, and it's just so beautiful. Because the concept of it is like there aren't, of the record, you know, there weren't concert musicians in the Yukon, you know, in the 1860s, right? So it was meant to seem a little ragged and a little sort of amateur. And it's just such a beautiful moment when we all put that together and listen back to it. We were all so floored. It was so great. It was so great. What I love about music and what I love about Alaska, it's all the same. It's beauty. You know, and there's so much beauty in these things. And I want it around me. I want music around me all the time. And I want Alaska around me and wildlife and just the beauty of the environment here and the beautiful, amazing people. I want all of that around me all the time in my life. So that's why I want to be here, you know. And there's so much support for music here and all of the arts. And Alaskan artists I found with these productions that I've done are passionate about doing their work in Alaska. They often see it as like a little bit of a cop-out to go down to Seattle or L.A. or something and buy some studio time to record their music that they've come up with up here. They want to do it in Alaska with Alaskans. And that's so cool because we have it all here.
And the person in charge of ordering and stocking produce at Skagway's only year-round grocery store is moving on after 8 years. KHNS reporter Melinda Munson spoke with the former grocery store employee about the position that the entire town depends on.
Jesse Baker is a founding member of Skagway's nonprofit thrift store, The Kitchen Sink, which supports survivors of domestic violence. But she's perhaps better known for tending Skagway's fruits and vegetables since 2017. It's an important job in a town with one small grocery store that gets its produce barged up from Seattle.
I always found it ironic that the berries would come in better in the winter.
Baker explains that food sometimes travels better in the winter when sitting around in cooler weather won't hurt it.
I always think of you or the person who's doing the produce as kind of even more important than the mayor. Did you ever feel like that responsibility? You're feeding the town.
A little bit. I always took it pretty seriously in the sense of I wanted to put out good products.
Putting out good product when you're located 850 nautical miles from the closest transportation center can be difficult. It takes 7 days for products to arrive. That doesn't take into account how long produce might have sat waiting to be transferred.
I used to always joke, fresh after 1 week on the barge.
Living in Skagway means being flexible. Residents are familiar with the avocado lottery. Winners of the lottery cut into a ripe, beautiful fruit. They might post a picture online and brag. Losers discover a brown mess inside and throw it away. They try not to think about how much money they wasted.
Did people ever blame you for the price of apples?
Not really. I mean, people would make comments, and I'd always kind of just jokingly be like, I don't make the prices.
According to Feeding America's 2022 statistics, a meal in Skagway costs $5.05 per person. The Alaska average is $4.70. Occasionally, being located at the end of the transportation line has its advantages. Grocery items that are mislabeled or accidentally left on the barge get sent to the Skagway store by default.
There's been some things that I couldn't even pronounce, and I had to Google them to see what they were and like how to store them, because sometimes it's just things that Skagway never gets.
But then there are times that unsolicited produce can cause a headache, like an extra pallet of watermelon when the weather is cold. Baker says one of the hardest experiences was when the produce just didn't show up at all.
There were 2 years in a row, the week after the 4th of July, I remember that very specifically because it was the same week both years, that we just didn't get any produce. It was just left in Seattle. To happen in the middle of the summer is rough.
Ordering produce in Skagway is an art. Numbers fluctuate greatly between tourist season and non-tourist season, and even those months have nuances.
I didn't fully go into like summer ordering mode until early May, when I knew everybody's back and at least half of them have money to buy produce. And that's when I had to start buying, you know, 25 cases of bananas and 12 cases of strawberries. And I still didn't always sell all of it until end of May, when everyone starts getting their paycheck.
Baker says there's an education period each year when seasonals need to be taught that on Monday night, the barge arrives. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, the food gets put away. And shopping later in the week is inadvisable, as groceries could run low until the next barge delivery. So what does the produce expert keep her kitchen stocked with?
Most people that know me know I love broccoli. I put broccoli in everything. Peppers, onions. I really like those chopped salads.
Baker will be joining the banking industry as a new branch opens in Skagway this month. In Skagway, I'm Melinda Munson.
And Ketchikan-raised filmmaker Emilio Torres was recently named the Arizona Filmmaker of the Year. He received the award at the annual Phoenix Film Festival in Phoenix, Arizona. The 11-day festival ended Sunday, April 6th. Torres's first feature film, The Ladder, was filmed and set in Ketchikan. It's a sci-fi movie about a made-up experimental medical procedure that reverses the effects of aging. Many of the faces in the film are Ketchikan residents. Torres grew up in Ketchikan, but currently lives in Arizona. Torres was presented the award on the last night of the film festival for being an Arizona-based filmmaker who, quote, has not only made a beautiful film, but is kind, hardworking, and regularly gives back to the community, unquote. This is the third festival appearance for The Ladder. The film made its world premiere at a film festival in Fargo, North Dakota earlier this spring. It then took home two awards for Best First Feature Film and Best Editing at the OK Scene Latino Film Festival in Oklahoma last month. The next stop for Torres's film The Ladder is the Houston International Film Festival in early May. A middle-aged man was rescued from frigid waters near Petersburg Monday night. Fran Schoenberg was walking his dog near the ferry terminal after sunset when he heard someone yelling in the Wrangell Narrows between Mitkoff and Kuprinoff Islands. Schoenberg is a local volunteer firefighter, so he launched his skiff and went to investigate, searching the dark, fast-moving waters for the person calling out for help. Around the same time, local resident Dr. James Pezzadilli was walking along the waterfront bike path when he also heard the yelling. Pezzadilli called 911 after realizing the person was in the water, being swept south by the tide. Several local agencies responded to the call at about 8:30 p.m. Local police, Alaska State Troopers, and Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department, EMS, and search and rescue teams. Schoenberg located the man and pulled him out of the water. More responders arrived in a Petersburg Borough security boat around the same time, according to Volunteer Fire Department spokesman Dave Berg. They began treating the man for hypothermia on the way to South Harbor, where he was transferred from the boat into an ambulance and brought to Petersburg Medical Center. Berg says the man was later medevaced to Anchorage for further treatment. According to Berg, responders learned that the man was visiting Petersburg to work on a local project. He had set out for Kuprinoff Island from the seaplane float on a borrowed kayak and ended up in the water. Berg says the man could have been in the water between 20 and 30 minutes, and fortunately, he was wearing a float coat. The whereabouts of the roughly 8-foot blue kayak are unknown. Berg says the response went smoothly, but the situation could have been tragic if nobody had been around to hear his call for help. He says kayaking alone at night is probably not a good idea. He says the Petersburg Fire Department encourages preparedness when adventuring alone. Have proper equipment, experience, and let someone know where you're going. And that's the news for now. This is KTOO. I'm Mike Lane.